On Talk of the Nation here, we've been discussing the president's address to the nation last night regarding the cost of rebuilding efforts in Iraq. Now, though, we switch to another troubled area in the Middle East and another trouble spot for U.S. foreign policy. Ahmed Korea is still weighing his options. Yesterday, Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat nominated Korea to replace Mahmoud Abbas as Palestinian prime minister. Abbas resigned on Saturday. Arafat's nominee, Ahmed Korea, also known as Abu Allah, is a veteran of Palestinian politics and Middle East negotiations, but he may not be prepared to assume such a significant post at this stage of the Middle East peace process. Joining us now by phone to tell us more about the nominee is Shibli Telhami, the Anwar Sadat Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland in College Park, the author most recently of The Stakes, America and the Middle East. And, Professor, always good to have you with us.
Good to be with you.
Who is Ahmed Korea?
He's a veteran politician who has a level of popularity both at the public among Palestinian public in the West Bank and Gaza, but certainly in the Legislative Council, the Palestinian Parliament, where he's a speaker. He is best known as one of the architects of the Oslo agreements with Israel back in 1993, and I think he therefore is seen to be a very moderate force in Palestinian politics who seeks a negotiated settlement with the Israelis. Perhaps more importantly, in 1993, he was one of the early Palestinians who understood that you can't look at Israel as a monolith, that there is a peace camp in Israel, that you have to engage it, you have to assure it, you have to build coalitions with it. And so his strategy, both in 1993 and since, has been built on that idea.
Which faction of the PLO is he associated with?
Well, he's a Fatah person, but he's really sort of, I would say he's really built his career, his reputation at the national Palestinian level, certainly since he's been elected to the Legislative Council. I mean, popularity, again, remember, no Palestinian leader today is particularly popular, and Arafat is unpopular as he is, more popular than any other Palestinian personality. That includes Mahmoud Abbas and it includes Ahmed Korea. But the reality of it is Mr. Korea has built more of a popularity than most. He's fared relatively well in the public opinion polls, largely because of his role in the Legislative Council.
Why do you think that after the resignation of Mahmoud Abbas, why do you think Yasser Arafat chose Ahmed Korea?
Well, there's really a very simple reason for it, frankly. Number one, he is a relatively popular man, perhaps more popular than Mahmoud Abbas at the level of the public. But more importantly, when initially Mr. Arafat wanted to put a government together that ended up choosing Mahmoud Abbas, he was very bluntly told by the U.S. That only two men were seen to be acceptable, and that is Mahmoud Abbas and Ahmed Korea. This was reflected also by a message sent through the EU. And so in a way, he's actually trying to put forth a candidate who has a level of popularity at home, but who is clearly very much acceptable to the U.S. and very much acceptable to the mainstream Israeli peace camp.
Now, we keep getting different messages today. One unnamed official says he's decided to accept. Another one says, wait, no, not yet. What's the hang-up? What's taking so long?
First of all, it would be very unwise for him to seem like he's rushing to it, if anything, in terms of his relations with Mahmoud Abbas. Mahmoud Abbas isn't finished. He's going to come back. But more importantly, I think it's his opportunity to register his grievances, not only vis-a-vis Arafat and the power struggle and what is expected, what authority he should have. Mahmoud Abbas didn't accept it very quickly either. He needed to make his deal with Arafat. But on the international level, I think Ahmed Korea, like most Palestinians, understand that Abu Mazen's, Mahmoud Abbas's failure ultimately was only in part due to the power struggle with Arafat. The bottom line is he became more unpopular, and the reason he became more unpopular is that he couldn't deliver on the ground what the roadmap was supposed to have delivered, which is more relief to the Palestinians from occupation and so forth. And so in that sense, he knows that his success is dependent much more on what the Israelis are going to do, what the international community is going to do to help him, than anything that he could personally do given the limited power that the authority has, limited resources that the authority has, and the uncertainty about the extent to which he's going to be in control of the security services.
The Middle East roadmap, backed by the so-called quartet, the United States, of course, the most important partner there, that was very much the banner under which his predecessor, Mahmoud Abbas, served in office. The roadmap is, it might be polite to say it's in tatters at this moment. Is he going to be pinned to the success of the Middle East roadmap and the Middle East peace process?
Well, certainly that's one consideration that makes him hesitant. I think that if you were an independent analyst looking at it right now and you had to make your bet, you would bet that the roadmap is going to fail. And if you're making that bet and your political future is pinned to that failure, then it's a reason to hesitate.
It's going to be a short term.
And that's clearly the issue right now, is the question of getting a sense of the degree to which there is an international commitment to implementing the roadmap, the extent to which Mr. Sharon himself really wants to implement the roadmap. And if you make an assessment that that's not likely, then it's a problem. But with all this, I think, you know, it's very tempting to take this position for him. This does propel him to an international stature that he has lacked so far. His name becomes known. He becomes another Palestinian personality to contend for power when the issue comes up. If he plays his card right, this could be a vehicle for him to make himself a potential successor.
How much was there a dispute between Mahmoud Abbas and Yasser Arafat, do you think? And was Mr. Abbas's resignation a victory for Mr. Arafat?
Well, no question it is in part a victory for Mr. Arafat. I mean, he has always wanted to assert that he was still there, the power behind the power, that Mahmoud Abbas's power really rested on getting support from him. He's made his point. Mahmoud Abbas will be on the sidelines, and Arafat still will be making the decisions. Clearly, part of the dispute was about the control of the security services. There was a power struggle, and Arafat won it. But Arafat won it for a very simple reason, not simply because he has control over the security forces still more than Mahmoud Abbas, but because he still is more popular than Mahmoud Abbas in the Palestinian public. And he still is, legalistically, the president who was elected through an election with international observers. Mr. Abbas was never actually elected. He was appointed. And so in that sense, by the way, Ahmed Quraish has a slightly more legitimacy than Mr. Abbas, in that he was actually elected and also then chosen as a speaker of the Legislative Council. But Arafat ultimately, frankly, might win a tactical battle here and there to assert himself. The bottom line for him is, what's in it for him? If the peace process fails, Hamas wins, the militants win, and the whole Palestine national movement that he based his entire life on will have been devastated, as he has defined it, a secular national movement replaced by perhaps a militant Islamist alternative. If that happens, history in both the history books of the Palestinians will not remember him well. So I think he has a great incentive to play a role in something that would bring about a settlement along the lines that he has always envisioned, based on two states. So the real issue is, how do you use that incentive that he has as a constructive force? And I don't think you can do it by ignoring him, because clearly he's there.
Shibli Telhami, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Shibli Telhami, Anwar Sadat Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland, College Park, the author of The Stakes, America and the Middle East. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.